My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. These are the final words of today's Gospel for this wondrous feast of St. Francis of Assisi, whose first-class relic is on the altar today, and I will bless you afterwards, together, all of you together, with that relic of St. Francis of Assisi. Il poverello di Assisi, the poor little one of Assisi. He was not born poor, however. Of the Bernardone family, he was the son of a very, very rich merchant in silks and damasks and other fabrics. So he went all over the Mediterranean to buy as many of these and brought them to Assisi, where there was a very great commerce. And Assisi at that time was on the par or even higher up economically and so forth than was Perugia, which of course later on would overtake it. But St. Francis was the son of this rich merchant. And he had a very easy youth. When he was a teenager, he would, at that time they were allowed, he would play the mandolin and he would go around the streets, the beautiful rose marble streets of Assisi, and all the other young men would follow him. And the women would look from their windows and their doors, among them the one that would be a friend of his and successor in a sense of the call to the holy life and to holy poverty, St. Clare of Assisi and her family, because all the women of the family eventually became poor Clares. But St. Francis was at this point just a very happy troubadour. War arose between Perugia and Assisi, and perhaps this was the beginning of the descent of Assisi in that manner. And St. Francis joined up, of course. It was the dream of every young man to be a knight, to be one who would lead troops to fight against the enemy. Of course, the enemy of those days was nothing like the enemy of today. The enemy of today are the demons and the devil who leads them to try to destroy the church, this shrine, this priest, and all those who are trying to follow him. And so we are at war still, but unlike St. Francis, we war not with arms and swords and lances, but with rosaries and prayers. So St. Francis was captured, and he was in a dungeon in Perugia, where it was there he received his conversion. Now, he was already a good Catholic. He was in a state of grace and went to the sacraments and so forth. In fact, you can go to Assisi in the main square. There is a cathedral, and there at the baptismal font, you can see where it says, here were baptized St. Francis of Assisi and St. Clare of Assisi from different families, different strata of society. St. Clare's family was of the nobility. St. Francis' family was of the mercantile league. So they were different, but they were similar. The church, the sacraments unite those who are far off in many ways and unites them at the baptismal font at the altar of God, as we are here today united on this first Saturday of October, the month of the Holy Rosary, and which happens also to be this wonderful feast of St. Francis. St. Francis, eventually, he received that call, and he still was going around at night and so forth with the mandolin and his friends, and then he went where he was given a vision to go to a little abandoned church outside of Assisi, St. Damian. It had no roof. There was a beautiful crucifix that is still preserved. We can still go there and venerate it. And our Lord said to him, build my church. And St. Francis looked, there was no ceiling, the walls were crumbling, no windows. So he thought he meant this church. So he went around town and gathered up rocks and stones and cement and everything he could. And he, with his own two hands, rebuilt the church of San Damiano, which you can still visit to this day. I'm sure it's been reinforced many times since. This was the beginning of the 13th century. And so St. Francis understood it this way. And oftentimes, when God presents to us a choice, we are very limited in the way in which we understand it. He was limited to San Damiano. And later on, he would rebuild many other churches. But that wasn't it. The church was already, in this year of 1200, falling apart, not with heresies per se, but with pride and materialism. And of course, that is one of our enemies, one of the enemies of the church, of the popes, the bishops, and the clergy of the church, is materialism, that we worship things rather than God. And so our Lord again began to speak to him. And so it came to him that he was supposed to begin an order or a group. He didn't think of an order at the time, that was to be consecrated to God, especially through, as he called it, sister poverty. La sorella povertà. And so that was the chief ministry, the chief gift from God to the Franciscans. And so was born the Order of Friars Minor. And then that young lady, that rich young lady from the nobility who had been looking at him through her window, came to him and said, I want to be one of your followers too. So he thought, well, you know, this is just not kosher. So he said, okay, we will start something else for the women. And so he took her to the Benedictine monastery in Assisi, which is still there also, and asked the nuns to prepare her to be a nun and to be an abbess. And so later on, others would join her. And one of the most beautiful scenes in the life of St. Francis and St. Clare is when he was cutting off her beautiful blonde hair, which is still preserved, and putting on the wimple and the veil and so forth of a poor Clare. And so we're born. They eventually, her mother and her sister, St. Agnes of Assisi, were to join her and many, many others besides. St. Francis, before dying, as we had the other day, was on retreat in Mount Alberna, not too distant from Assisi. You can see it from Assisi. And there he received from a seraph the wounds of Christ on his hands and his feet and his side. And so, as such, St. Francis is called the Seraphic Father, our Seraphic Father. So in a very, very special way today, we pray for the propagation, conservation, and restoration of the Franciscan orders. There are many that are affiliated today, and of the poor clerics. And especially we pray in a very special way today for the canonization of Reverend Mother Mary Angelica, who has given us so many things, including to this parish and shrine, and to this, her unworthy spiritual son. May God bless us all and protect us and bring us to everlasting life. He died only about 42 years old on October the 3rd of 1226. And he died right there where he started the second church he rebuilt, Our Lady of the Angels, which is now surrounded by a magnificent edifice, the Basilica, that belongs to the Pope of Our Lady of the Angels. And so there on the chapel next to it, he died on the floor on a bed of ashes and sackcloth. And eventually he was reburied in what is today the Basilica of St. Francis. And he is in the crypt, and we're going to see his tomb. However, of St. Francis, like the little flower, there remain only a few ashes and bones. But it is St. Francis. It is our seraphic father. To him we pray, and with his relics we shall be blessed after Mass and benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.